Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. Today, we are blessed to have Catherine Chavez. She's talking to us, coming to us from Arizona. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Renee. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, that's great. We like to have excited people. You know? Otherwise, you know, someone starts dozing off in the middle, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep it exciting and entertaining.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about your life.
Okay. Well, like you mentioned, I'm from Arizona, and I'm actually completely blind. Both of my eyes are prosthetics. So just a little bit of background of how I became blind. I was actually diagnosed with retinoblastoma in both eyes when I was five, six years old, which actually, Renee, it's a late age. Because per doctors, usually the diagnosis is found from 0 months to 2 years old. And so when they found mine, it was kind of too late to save my eyes. So yeah. So they had to remove. I'm sorry?
What finally got them to figure it out after all that time?
So my mom started noticing that I would like sit close, really close to the TV. And or when somebody would ask me to like pass them something, I would feel around. And at first, people thought that I was just kind of, you know, playing around. You know, kids, like, sure, they play around or they watch things on TV, they imitate. So they thought I was just playing around.
Right.
Yeah. But it wasn't until the school noticed that I wasn't recognizing faces. And I think it was because the tumor would move around in my eye. So I would have like certain blind spots.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually remember exactly when I was diagnosed. Like, I remember I was sitting in the eye doctor. Literally, they had me there for like 4 hours, I want to say, because they kept putting eye drops and couldn't find anything until the doctor saw like a little white spot. And I remember when he broke the news to my mom, like, it's so vivid to me. Like, I still remember her holding me and crying. And you know, we're definitely faith-based, so we're Christian. So I just remember her like pleading out to God. So it was overwhelming, but I went through chemotherapy, radiation, surgeries, back and forth from California's Children's Hospital and here in Arizona where I'm from. So they removed one eye first because they thought, hey, maybe we can save her left eye so she won't be completely blind. But no, Renee, actually the tumor was starting to move towards my head, towards my brain.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So my little girl.
Yeah,
I was. I'm sorry. As a little girl, what were you thinking? How did this affect you?
Honestly, I don't remember too much. I just remember I was sleepy a lot because of, you know, all the surgeries and chemotherapy. I don't really remember much of what I was thinking when I went through the process of all of that. I've asked my mom before. She says I never really complained about anything. I have a good support system, which I think is always helpful in any situation, you know, that we find ourselves as people. I know my cousins used to, like, one of my close cousins used to say that when we were little, she would always want to play with me, but I couldn't go out because I just went through radiation or I was sleepy because of the chemo and everything. But I don't really remember exactly how I felt through the process since it was so long ago. I'm going to be 30 this year.
Oh, happy birthday ahead of time.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm going to be 30 this year. So it's been like well over, you know, 20 years. Well, like 23, 24 years.
Wow. So what kind of schooling did you have? What kind of education?
You know what? I always went to a public school. I became completely blind in third grade is when they removed my second eye. So that way, you know, they could remove the tumor. And I always went to public school. So I actually had a vision teacher, but a vision teacher
right
come out to my school and about 2 hours a day, you know, teaching me Braille and all that fun stuff. And then in high school, same thing. So yeah, I always went to public school, which honestly, I'm very grateful for. And I feel like it's helped me, it's molded me into the person that I am today as a visually impaired person. Because I was very involved in school, Renee. I was in after school programs. I was in sports.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. But you didn't let your lack of vision hold you back.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I've always had, you know, like I mentioned, I am Christian. So I find my strength and my hope, you know, in God. And I always, like I mentioned, had a really good support system. And you know what? I think what pushed me to be involved in school was wanting to make friends and fit in and not feel like I'm an outcast because I'm blind.
Sure, sure. So you wanted to fit in, you worked to fit in, you didn't go off in the corner.
Exactly, exactly. So in sixth grade, I did cross country and track and field and, the Foundation for Blind Children, which is an organization out here in Phoenix, they would have somebody go out and help me during practice. So I had like a sighted guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat. How did they have you race? Did you have like a rope as well as a sighted guide?
Nope. I just held on to my sighted guide's arm.
Ah, your sighted guide have to be fast too.
It had to be somebody that was like faster than me because I had to be able to keep up with my speed and be able to like, if I want to go faster, they can go faster. If I slow down, they'll be able to slow down. So it had to be someone that was fit. I don't run anymore though.
Well, so
I was young.
Well, so your mom really, really helped you out, huh? Did she get over feeling bad about it?
No, my mom actually hovered a lot. Who helped her was my mobility aid instructor would help my mom. And I guess in a nice way, like back off, she was obviously overprotective because I'm the only one that's blind in my family. There's nobody else in my family who's blind. We've never met, you know, we've never been around anybody with a disability. We've never been around someone who's blind. So it was new to everybody. So obviously as a mother, you know, she was very overprotective, but my mobility instructor would always, I think because they saw how much I wanted to push to like be normal, you know, and be part of what everybody else does, that she helped my mom kind of loosen up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. I have an older sister, an older brother, and then a younger sister and a younger brother. So I'm literally right. I'm that middle child.
Oh boy. You're the balanced one, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, my brother is the middle child. He's pretty balanced. You know, there's me and then there's someone, my other younger brother who has passed, but no, that's wonderful. Well, so
you have two brothers?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay. Yes, no sisters?
No sisters. One had passed. Well, my youngest brother passed a couple of years ago, but I still have my other brother in Minnesota. But it's funny to be the only girl with two boys. Anyway, let's see. So, and you were telling me earlier that you went to the university in Arizona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to ASU. I love the college life. And you know, I've never was a partier. Like I didn't go like to parties or anything like that. I think I just loved the independence that I had because I lived in the dorms. And obviously in college, you get to pick your classes and just making friends that like have similar, have a lot of things in common and being part of the activities they do in college. But yeah, I lived in the dorms. I did all 4 years and got my bachelor's degree in criminology and criminal justice.
Oh, wow. So what did you want to be?
So I wanted to go to law school. I did take my LSAT. Didn't score as high as I wanted to. So I actually was going to retake it. But within studying to retake it, I did visit like a couple of law schools and spoke with a couple of lawyers, and I realized that that's maybe not the path I actually want to take, and that's probably not the lifestyle I want to have. And you know what, Renee, with it was hard transitioning out of school life into the real world, because when I was all my life in school from, well, let's say third grade, you know, that I lost my sight, till college, till my last year of college, whatever I wanted to do, like, I felt like I had no limits. I was able to do it. They accommodated, they found the right people. I got into the real world and it's not that easy. It was very hard to find a job in my field. Reality was hard.
So how long did it take you to find a job?
It took me, I graduated college in May 2014. I started a job in November 2015, so over a year later. And it wasn't even in my field. I started working at a call center, and actually my sister worked there first. So that's how I was able to get in, because of my sister.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I was very grateful for it, because I gained work experience. And even in the work field, if there was something that wasn't accessible for me, like I made it clear what worked and what didn't work. And then I would push to help accommodate and make it accessible and do what we can, because you know, if you're a hard worker and you want to work, and obviously we need to work in this world, it should be accessible for anybody that needs to, you know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I was there for 6 years, then I became a mom, maternity leave, went back to work. I couldn't do it. So now I'm a stay-at-home mom and a content creator.
Oh, that's cool. Well, tell us about your content creating.
So I'm actually on TikTok. I have a YouTube too, but TikTok is so much easier and faster, because my husband, he's the one that helps me with my videos, and somebody has to work full time. So it's easier to do TikTok, because it could be like, oh, he has to go to work in 10 minutes. We can do a quick video and then he'll edit it later. Versus YouTube, it's like a long recording and it's a few hours of editing, which we enjoy. But now, right now, with just him working, TikTok's been easy for us. And yeah, I just do videos on how I do things as a person who's blind, a mother who's, you know, blind, and encouraging things and just showing. Yeah. And honestly, a lot of it is, you know, of course, I want to motivate my community, you know, of visually impaired, but a lot of it is to show people who can see, like other people that don't have a disability, show them that we, all the things that we're able to do, and kind of make them see like, hey, we're normal. We do everything that you need to do. Like, we can get it done too. Maybe sometimes it's just different or with help, which is okay. So honestly, it's just to kind of open up our world to other people, because you know what, Renee, like I know, sometimes there's blind people who kind of get offended with the type of questions that people who are not blind ask us, but I don't get offended, because I would be just as curious. If I've never been around someone who's blind, if I've never met someone with a disability, I would be curious, you know, because sighted people rely 100% on their sight. So if you take that away, how the heck do you get through this world? You know what I mean?
I know. You just, as you say, you just do it in a different way. And I've been blessed to meet people such as yourself who have taught me. And, you know, I'm always asking questions I think that could offend people, but I have not met anyone who was offended by questions. But on top of that, everybody was like yourself, like they just were very happy to explain things.
Yeah. I even ask people, I wasn't born blind. So when I meet someone who was born blind, I get curious myself, like, oh my gosh, it's crazy to me, because I still remember what a lot of colors look like. Like if you tell me like that's green, I know what green is. If you tell me that's pink, I know what pink is. So I still have some vision memory. So I get interested when I meet someone who was born blind. You know, the fact that they don't know what color is, it's interesting to me.
It's hard to describe a color when someone hasn't ever seen it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost, for me, it's almost like impossible because you really don't know what, I can describe it to you, but you don't know what it's going to look like. Like, you can describe to me what a certain person looks like, and it's really hard to picture it in my head, and it's not going to be the right image. Does that make sense? So yeah, I get curious with people who are born blind.
Right, exactly. Because they've never known either way. You know, they've never known it to have sight. But oh, here's a wacky question. When you dream, do you see?
I actually don't. I don't see in my dreams. I just hear in my dreams, you know, I kind of have a sense of direction of where I am or what's happening, but I can't see in my dreams at all.
Right, right. Well, that was one of the questions. I don't know, after all these years, that sort of just popped into my head.
Well, but you know, it's different for blind people because I've seen a couple of blind people answer that question and say that they do see in their dreams because they still remember. Yeah, which I find fascinating because I remember some things, but I don't have vision memory of like certain scenes when I was younger and all that. So, yeah, but I can't see in my dreams.
Well, so what, so tell us what it's like to be a mom, without vision.
So, you know, when I was pregnant, I was kind of nervous, but once I had my baby, it's just, it comes naturally, like, you know, your mother instincts, your, everything just comes natural. It was a lot easier than what I thought. Now that my daughter's growing, Renee, she's 15 months already.
Aww.
And she's walking. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like grows so fast. She's my only child for right now.
For now.
Yeah, for now. I think we want one more, maybe two. I don't know. We'll see after the second one.
That's right.
I'm still not sleeping through the night, so we'll see.
Aw. Well, what's your favorite part about being a mom?
My favorite part about being a mom is just about being a mom is, I don't know, just having like, I love how she knows I'm her mom. Like when she needs something, she knows to come to me because I'll help her with what she needs. I love, like, you know, when she's, I don't know, their love is just so innocent and pure. And then just the ability to be able to teach my daughter, you know, teach her and watch her grow. And it's bittersweet, Renee, because now that she's kind of, like I said, walking and running and plays with her little cousins, sometimes it's hard as a blind mom. Like, it gets to me not being able to see that. Or even just having to rely on other people. As a mom, I feel like no one's going to take care of my child the way I do. So it's really hard, like, when we're out somewhere and I have to be like, what is she doing? Do you see her? Do you see her? And I probably get annoyed, but I can't see her. So I have to rely on other eyes. And that's what makes it hard. That's what makes it really hard. But, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. So
do you ever feel to see quote unquote what she looks like? Do you feel her face or anything?
I do. I touch her little face. You know, even while she's sleeping, I touch her little face, her little nose. When I teach her like how to do certain things, like she knows how to find her hair, mouth, nose, and eyes. I touch her hands to make sure, like, to kind of feel what she's doing. So I'm glad that she's very independent, but she lets me touch her, which I'm glad that I can feel like what my daughter's doing, you know. So,
enjoy it while you can, because when they're 15.
I know. I was 15, so I know.
Hey, well, so tell us about your cooking. How did you get into cooking, or was it something you always liked?
Well, I have no choice now with a husband and a child, so. But I did. Actually, I started with baking. I used to really like baking, like cupcakes, cookies, cheesecakes. I wasn't big at like decorating. And I kind of taught myself how to do all of that stuff. I kind of taught myself. I had a friend in college who kind of helped me learn how to cook as well. But yeah, I love cooking. I mean, I used to love it when I didn't have to do it. But I'm more of a, I like to see what I have and then just kind of put something together type of thing. Make it work with whatever you have. My favorite is pastas and like sauce. Cause I feel for someone who's blind, it's easy. Cause you can easily like know if it's ready by taste and touching it versus sometimes meat is kind of hard for me. You know, just because obviously it's hot when you touch it, but my fingertips are used to it. I'm always touching my hot food. So
you know how it feels.
Yeah. But I enjoy cooking. I do have to be by myself in the kitchen though, when I'm cooking, because as someone who's blind, I do everything by touch. So I have to touch everything. I have to smell everything. And obviously I do things differently. I use my hands a lot. So I feel like awkward when someone's watching, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I feel them looking at you.
Exactly. But it's kind of like, I don't know. It makes me feel calm. Like cooking makes me feel like peaceful and, you know, just part of what everybody does every day. So
right. Well, tell us your recipe, because I love it. I'm going to be trying that recipe for sure.
You got to let me know what you think when you try it.
I will. You know, I love shrimp. So, and cream sauces. So like you hit the bingo with me. So describe for our audience what your recipe is.
So my recipe is shrimp alfredo with chipotle cream sauce, and it's funny because one of my cousins actually kind of gave me the idea of it. I remember I was like, I don't know what to make for dinner. Like, I have shrimp, but I don't know what to do. I don't want to make rice. I don't know, like, I just wanted something simple and easy. And she told me like, oh well, I made this a couple nights ago. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So I just obviously, you know, I cook the pasta. And what I love about pasta is you can use any pasta that you want. With this recipe, you can use any pasta. I've done it with like the elbow pasta, the Alfredo pasta. I threw together like cream cheese, half and half, and chipotle sauce with some garlic to make the cream. And obviously you can adjust it to your heat. Like if you like it, are you a spicy person? Do you like spicy?
You know, I do to a certain extent, not where like I'm crying and blowing my nose, but yeah. I do like a little heat, and that sounded perfect.
Yep. That's how I am. I want to enjoy my food. I don't know how people enjoy it when it's too spicy and they're crying and running.
Your mouth is on fire.
Yes. So yeah, I like the kick to it, but I still want to be able to taste everything else. So yeah, so you can adjust it with how spicy you want, but I just added one can of the chipotle sauce. And obviously if you want it thicker, you know, or creamier, you can add more half and half. And I love garlic, like garlic is yummy to me. So, you know, you want to cook, for me, peeled and deveined shrimp is easy. It's easy. You don't have to do a lot of work with it. And I'm scared of that stuff. Like I won't eat a whole fish because I'm scared. Like I feel bad with the face on it, or like, or like crab, like having to work to like take the meat out. I don't like that. So yeah, that's why I recommend the peeled shrimp. And all you do is just, when you wash your shrimp, you just, cook it in a pot with some garlic and onion, and you just add garlic powder and salt on your shrimp. So that way it's nice and garlicky. And once that's cooked, you want to add the cream that you blended with the chipotle, half and half cream cheese. You want to just pour that in and let that boil. And once that's ready, you just add your pasta into it and you mix it all together. And once it's served, I like to put a Parmesan cheese on mine.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I am definitely making that this weekend. That it just sounds so good.
Yeah. And you know, you don't even need to use a lot of dishes. I hate washing dishes. I feel like I'm washing dishes all day. So if I can cook a meal that uses not as much dishes, I'm all for it. I just use one pot, and the same pot that I cook the pasta, that's where I cook the shrimp. Once I drain the pasta, I cook the shrimp in there, add the sauce in there, and add the pasta again.
Now, I had a question from someone the other day, a group I was speaking to, and there was a lady who was a little bit older, and she was saying that the kettle of the pasta and water are so heavy. Do you find that?
Yeah, it's heavy, but I mean, I'm able to carry it over to the sink. It's not a big distance from like my stove to the sink, but that's why I always hold it with two hands, but it can be heavy.
Sure. Well, I told her to use a little less water in it.
But, Okay, well, that probably works. It's the water. Cause when I fill up the pot with water, you know, it already gets heavy. So adding that pasta. So yeah, I think that was a good tip.
Yeah. You know, I thought so. I'm like a common sense kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
So empty a little water out and you'll be fine. That's what right.
Well, it's okay to get a little arm work out there.
That's right. You end up looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, hot pasta, right? Yeah. Well, Catherine, if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they reach out to you? And tell us TikTok name.
Yes, please, you guys. Follow me on TikTok. I would love the support. So I'm under all social media, like on my Instagram and YouTube as Katie's Eyes. So that's KatyseYes. For Instagram, it's _ Katie's Eyes. But on TikTok, Katie's Eyes, YouTube, Katie's Eyes. And my email's on there too. So you guys can always reach out to me via email, which is catseyes1016@gmail.com.
Well, Catherine, it's been a lot of fun today. And I want to say thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness. And if anyone wants to see Catherine's recipe, which sounds amazing, go to our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. That's cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And check out our YouTube channel. Catherine's podcast is going to be there. And we also have, you can listen to our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And if you have devices that are Alexa enabled, just ask for the Cooking Without Looking podcast. So again, thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you, Renee. I had so much fun and I really appreciate the opportunity. And I'm so happy that I'm able to educate people and let people see into my world of what it really is to be someone who's blind. So,
well, we appreciate it. It helps everyone, you know, a little bit at a time, everyone learns, right?
Yep. As long as it helps one person, that's all we need. One person, and that person teaches the other. And you know how that goes.
That's it. And so on and so on.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Catherine. Have a great day.
Thank you, Renee. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.